Now that we are entering the Messianic era, there is starting to be a very great interest by many people in the esoteric arts and sciences, basically what is called Kabbalah, which in general, the Kabbalah explains how the universe was created out of nothing and all the various different levels of all the worlds. So as a side effect, all the various esoteric arts and sciences, as well as all the actual physical sciences, come out from the study of Kabbalah, which Kabbalah includes all of them. So for instance, the various things that can come out of it are all the explanations on various things like the satanic forces and the divine forces, black and white magic, astrology, palmistry, fortune telling, the explanations of the Kabbalistic powers and the powers of the mind, angelology and demonology, the various levels of the soul, necromancy, which means communicating with the dead, and what ghosts are. And this basically is only a small part of the esoterical sciences. Also, the various physical sciences like physics, chemistry, and biology, the Kabbalah basically explains the unified field theory of physics. In other words, many of the things which the scientists are discovering now were discussed in Kabbalah many thousands of years ago. Like, for instance, in our days, the scientists already admit that physical matter is made out of light. It's made out of energy. And the Kabbalah also explains many things that the scientists don't know yet. In the same way, the mental sciences, like for instance, what is the origin of all the various desires, like the desire for sex and lust, for violence, for power and greed. These are all explained in the Kabbalah just as a side effect. Because Kabbalah, as I said, is the all-inclusive knowledge of how God created the universe out of nothing. And therefore, it includes all the various things in it. Now, there's many people who claim to explain the Kabbalah or claim to explain certain fields like, let's say, the Kabbalistic powers or the powers of the mind. And really, all they're giving you is just nonsense. Really, it's just general nonsense. The reason for this is like this, that it's an understood thing that since the Kabbalah includes all the sciences and all the esoteric sciences and arts in it, it's a much deeper knowledge than any of them. So for instance, let's say the science of physics. Everybody understands that to have a basic understanding of physics and what it is not the same as being a physicist. In the same way, everybody understands that to have a basic understanding of what medicine is, meaning a general understanding of what medicine is not the same as being a doctor. In order to be a physicist, you have to know all the detail of the science of physics. And then you can be a physicist. So in the same way, it must be understood that if one truly wants to go deeply into the study of the Kabbalah and to be a real Kabbalist, it's not the same as just understanding in general what Kabbalah is, which the explanation in general of what Kabbalah is like we said before, it's the explanation of exactly all the particulars of how God created the universe out of nothing. And therefore, the study of Kabbalah explains all these various other studies, like, for instance, angelology. The Kabbalah, along with everything else, explains how the angels came into being, or how the demons came into being. The same thing with all the powers of the mind. The Kabbalah explains how the human mind was created by God. So therefore, it explains also all the various things of the human mind. Now, the basic thing in Kabbalah, which makes it very different from all the other types of disciplines which supposedly lead you into the spiritual spheres, is like this, and this is basically why it's called Kabbalah, the received knowledge. That in general, all the powers of Kabbalah and all the powers of the mind which come out of it, and all the depth of Kabbalah comes from what is called Kabbalistic contemplation or meditation, which many times we hear stories how the old Kabbalists contemplated on the secret names of God or various other Kabbalistic contemplations that we hear about. Now, the difference between Kabbalistic contemplation and what is usually known as meditation is like this. The name that is used for Kabbalistic contemplation is Hisbonenus. Now, Hisbonenus basically means understanding. The root of Hisbonenus is Bina, which means understanding, and Hisbonenus means to make yourself understand or to learn something. Now, the Kabbalistic meditation is also called Hisbonenus. But actually, meditation or contemplation really should be called in Hebrew Hamakas Hada'as, which means concentration, which in general, meditation or contemplation means to concentrate the mind on one thing to the exclusion of all other things. And that's why usually somebody who wants to meditate, and I don't mean just necessarily Kabbalistic meditation, but any kind of meditation that somebody wants to do, he usually tries to go into a quiet place where he's all alone and will not have any distractions. Because then he'll be able to concentrate the whole power of his mind on the thing that he's contemplating on. However, the Kabbalah teaches us that actually contemplation cannot be done without understanding first. That's why Kabbalistic contemplation is called by the name of Hisbonenus, which doesn't mean contemplation, but means learning. In other words, what does that mean? It means that one cannot concentrate on something which he doesn't understand already. The way the process has to work is, first of all, you have to learn the subject matter, and then you can think about it. In other words, then you can contemplate about what the deep meaning of it is. So that Kabbalah, this is why it's called Kabbalah, because it means like this, that first of all, you have to receive an explanation from somebody else, which that what means Kabbalah means the received knowledge, means the explanation has to be received from somebody else and learned. And then after one understands it very well, only then can he actually contemplate on it, meaning to go and sit by himself and think deeply into it in order to get to the true depth of it. Now, the basic explanations of this is like this, that in the mind, there's three basic powers, Chochma, Bina, and Das, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, which the power of Chochma, wisdom, is the power of intuitive insight, means the power of the mind to discover a new knowledge which one has not known before. It means to have an insight into something new, and this is called the flash of intuition. That a person who has a flash of, like, let's say an inventor, for instance, who all of a sudden has a flash, like in the cartoons, they show a little lamp lighting up on top of his head. And that's the basic power of wisdom, which is the flash of intuitive knowledge. The second power of the mind is the power of understanding, which that is basically the power of analysis and explanation. It means to take the subject matter and cut it up into tiny, tiny little pieces and then examine each one very closely. And keep examining them over and over again until you're very, very familiar with every little piece of it and understand the subject very, very well. The third power of the mind is the power of das, knowledge, which basically means the power of the mind to connect to a subject matter and concentrate on it to the exclusion of everything else. Now, most systems of meditation, of contemplation, make a mistake, which it explains in Kabbalah. What do? They want to get to the flash of intuition, which is in Chokhmah and wisdom. The way they think they can get to this is just by concentrating. In other words, many of these disciplines, what they ask you to do is to go like into a cave on top of the Himalayas and meditate on one thing, like a candle or your belly button or something like that. And from this deep concentration that you keep concentrating on the candle or on a sound or something like that, somehow, magically, there's supposed to come a flash of intuitive knowledge into the deep esoteric nature of reality. Now, in the Kabbalistic writings, it says that any kind of flash of knowledge that comes from this type of discipline is just false imaginations. Because it's very simple to understand this, that even if you look at not such a deep, deep science like Kabbalah, which, as I said, Kabbalah explains all the way to the depth of how God created the universe and includes in it all the other sciences and arts. So even if you want to get a deep intuitive knowledge into an external science, like physics, everybody understands that you're not going to just go in a cave and meditate and all of a sudden you'll know how to make an atom bomb. That's not how it works. The way it works, it explains in Kabbalah that the way it works is that the power of analysis of the mind is what awakens up the other powers, whether the power above it, which is wisdom, which is the actual intuitive insight into the actual thing, rather than just understanding an explanation of it, or whether the lower power of the attention and connection to the subject, these are both awakened by the power of Bina, the power of understanding. So that the discipline of Kabbalah starts off not with concentration, but with analysis of an explanation which is given over to you. That's why it's called Kabbalah, that you will receive an explanation. And that's what you're going to have to concentrate on it after you learn it. But even this power of concentration will be awakened from the understanding itself. In other words, how does that work? First of all, how does the power of understanding awaken the power of intuitive insight? So there's an example given on that, that for instance, inventors, like it's a known thing that Thomas Edison and various other inventors kept a pad of paper and pencil next to their bed. Why? Because they had flashes of intuitive knowledge. and they would write these down. Now, why did they have these flashes of intuitive knowledge, these inventors? If you look at all the inventors, like the Wright brothers, Edison, all the people who come up with various new things now, you'll see that these are not people who went and meditated in a cave. Rather, that these are people that had analysis into the subject. So that, for instance, like in medical research, you want to come out with new insights into what they don't know, which that's basically wisdom, chokhmah, to discover something new. But who gets this flash of intuitive understanding? Specifically, the people who do the analysis, the research, which research means plotting analysis of analyzing all the facts that you already know. And this is how the power of understanding awakens the upper power of insight. In the same way, how does the power of understanding awaken the power of concentration? An example is like this, that if somebody will explain to you a way to make $10 million in 2 weeks, according to this explanation, if you think that his explanation really makes sense, this will awaken a fantastic interest in you. Now, this interest, whether it's positive or negative, means, let's say that according to his explanation, you think this is a bunch of baloney, this will awaken an opposite from interest in you. It means the interest to get rid of the guy. And basically, this will also awaken the lower powers of the emotions. Means if, because the emotions are included in the power of das, the power of knowledge. That, for instance, if the interest is positive, this will bring about the emotion of attraction or love. If the interest is negative, this will bring about the emotion of repulsion or hate. Now, basically, let's now, first of all, in order to understand this, go into a deeper explanation of these three powers of the mind. That it has to be understood that all the powers come from the powers of the mind, means the emotional powers and the communicative powers all come from the power of the mind. Even down to the power of sexual lust and desire comes from the power of das, from the power of concentration or attention. What does that mean? That in the Bible, it says that Adam knew Eve. What it actually means is that he had relations with her, not that he knew her. It says Adam knew Eve and they had a baby. So that sexual relations are called knowledge. Why? Because it's all included in the attention of the mind. It means that if there's no mental connection between a man and woman, there will not be a physical connection between them either. And this applies to all the powers, whether the gut feelings or whether the heartfelt feelings, these all come from the power of das. Because das, power of knowledge, means the power of the mind to connect to a subject matter. And according to that connection, that's how the emotions will come out. If there's a very strong connection, there will come out very strong emotions. If there's a very weak connection, there will come out very weak emotions. In the same way, like we explained before, that if the connection is positive, the emotions which will come out is the emotions of love. If the connection is negative, so the emotion will come out is the emotion of hate. So that all the emotions come out from das. But it explains in Kabbalah that the das is according to bina, that the knowledge is according to the understanding, means And this is very simple, that what you know is what you learned. And if you didn't learn it, you won't know it. So for instance, if you want to learn how to drive a car, what do you have to do? Do you have to go to a cave and meditate on driving a car? No. You have to go to a teacher who will explain to you how to drive a car, and then you have to practice it over and over and over again, which this is basically what Hisbonenus means. But basically, Hisbonenus, which very often is translated, as we said, as Kabbalistic contemplation, is really the act of studying and analyzing an explanation into fine detail. Now, it explains in Kabbalah that all these three powers of the mind have a depth, a length, and a width. So right now I'm going to explain basically these three dimensions of understanding. And they're like this, that the length of understanding, and there's an allegory that understanding, it says that understanding is like a river, and wisdom is like the spring from which the river comes from. It means a spring of water which comes out of the ground. So in a river, the length of the river means that through the length of the river, the water comes down from high up in the mountains down to the ocean level, means the sea level. In the same way, in Bina, in understanding, the length of the understanding means the length of the explanation to bring a very abstract, incomprehensible subject down into a very simple explanation that even a little child can understand. And that's called the length of understanding. And it's understood that the deeper the subject, the more length will have to be in it. So obviously, to explain to somebody how to play tiddlywinks is not going to take much of a length. That's very, you can explain that very fast with a very short explanation. To explain to somebody how to play football takes a longer explanation. To explain to somebody how to be a doctor means not what a doctor is, but how he himself can be a doctor. That takes about 10 years. Then the width of understanding, and this is relating to any type of understanding, not necessarily Kabbalistic understanding. The width of understanding is the fact that it can be explained in many different ways to different sides. The same like a river spreads out to the sides, and it's not just the inner current of the river. In the same way, the explanations can be explained in one way or another way. It means to one side or to the other side. And this is the width of understanding. The depth of understanding means the actual inner point which one is trying to explain. And obviously, as we said before, if the depth is deeper, the length is longer. Means that it's much shorter to explain a not such a deep subject like playing tiddlywinks, and it's much longer to explain a deeper subject like medicine. In the same way, one understands that the deeper the subjects, the more different ways it can be explained. It means it has a more of a width to it. And the shallower the subject, the shallower the width. However, there's the other side of this too. And this is the basic point that we're trying to make here. The point that Kabbalah makes is like this, that one cannot get to the depth of something without going through the length of the and the width. Means you cannot really get to the depth of what it is to be a doctor without going through all the long and wide explanations of the science of medicine. Means you can't be a doctor by just meditating. means that actually the power of concentration, in order to be a doctor, the power of concentration is necessary. Obviously, somebody who's going to college learning to be a doctor has to concentrate on the subject in order to understand it. But this is just a vessel to hold the understanding. It's not the actual understanding itself. So that if he just concentrates without concentrating on the explanations, nothing will come of it. He will not become a doctor. And this is a very easily understood thing. Same like one cannot learn how to drive a car just by concentrating on it. And this applies to any discipline at all. So that even in a simple thing, like playing football, if somebody does not explain the rules to you, you cannot just meditate and magically the rules of football will flash into your mind in an intuitive manner. So it's an understood thing basically here that in order to get to the depth of a deep knowledge, one has to go through the explanations of it. And this is what it means, Kabbalah. Kabbalah means the received knowledge that these explanations were given to Moses on Sinai. And according to learning these explanations, then you can have insights into the depth of the Kabbalah.